world. That's Women Hold Up Half the Sky, Saturdays, 11 a.m. to noon, only on KALX Berkeley, 90.7 FM. Women Hold Up Half the Sky, Saturdays, 11 a.m. to noon, on KALX Berkeley. And this is, Women Hold Up Half the Sky on KALX Berkeley, 90.7 FM. I'm your host, Jolie Johnson. Good morning. It's 11 o'clock in the morning, just past today, January the 20th, I think that might be the 28th, 2006. Anyway, on the show today, Women Hold Up Half the Sky, I'll be speaking with several people today about a conference that's occurring on February the 7th at Stanford University, sponsored by the Institute for Research on Women and Gender of the Stanford University. The conference is entitled Proof and Prejudice, Women in Mathematics. And my guest today on the show, live here in our studios in Berkeley, will be Professor Jonathan Farley, Jamil Carter, George Chichiri, filmmaker, and on the phone, in towards the latter part of the show, on the phone, mathematician Helen Moore. Jamil Carter herself also a mathematician. And this conference is occurring, as I've said, on February the 7th, from 2 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. on Stanford campus, room 426 on the fourth floor of the Margaret Jacks Hall, building 460. And I'm going to be repeating all this information several times. The website to visit for information is, and don't put www first, it won't occur. Just simply type in irwg.stanford.edu. Before we get to my first guest, Professor Jonathan Farley, who has been helping organize the entire conference, play a little music, Sounds from the Ground, track 2, Drawn to the Woman. We'll be back live here on Women Hold Up Half the Sky, KALX Berkeley, University of California, and listener supported radio.
Thank you.
And again, the band sounds from the ground, their song drawn to the woman. And this is Women Hold Up Half the Sky on KALX Berkeley 90.7 FM. I'm your host, Jolie Johnson. Good morning. Today, as I mentioned on the show, I have several guests in the studio, or in the station right now. They'll be in the next hour. We'll be talking about, in my mind, what looks like a fascinating conference. It is called Proof and Prejudice, Women in Mathematics. It's occurring February the 7th, sponsored by the Institute for Research on Women and Gender at Stanford University. It's from 2 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. on the Stanford University campus, room 426, fourth floor, Margaret Jacks Hall, building 460. And again, I'll be repeating that information quite often. If you're going somewhere and you kind of want to look a little bit more at it, you can go online at irwg.stanford.edu. I'm sorry about this. It's the Institute for Research on Women and Gender is presenting the conference, and I also see here that it's co-sponsored by Stanford's Departments of Mathematics, English, History, and Drama, and the Feminist Studies Program. Don't want to forget those important people. My guest today, first off, Professor Jonathan Farley is here right now to talk about the conference and his work as well. Filmmaker George Chicherie is here to talk about documentary, a film that he has produced and made about Julia Robinson, a famed Berkeley mathematician who solved the Hilbert's 10th problem. And I myself am intrigued about who and what is a Hilbert, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Also here in the studio is a mathematician, scholar, Jamel Carter, and on the phone in about 40 minutes or so, Helen Moore, mathematician, scholar, will be talking to us about her work and her perspective on, again, women in mathematics. And with all that said, I want to welcome Professor Farley here to our studios here in Berkeley. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me here.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we just start with the basics? I mean, that's probably what I had a physics teacher who used to say, keep it simple, right? Keep it simple in any type of mathematical or scientific type of issue. So let's keep it simple and go back to the basics. What is this conference going to deal with?
Well, I'll tell you where it started. And it started because I waltzed into the Institute for Research on Women and Gender at Stanford, and I wanted to put on a presentation that had something to do with the movie Proof, which stars Gwyneth Paltrow. So I thought, since I have a company called Hollywood Math and Science Film Consulting, that it should involve Proof, women, and mathematics. And the associate director, Michelle Kale, at the Institute for Research on Women and Gender, liked the idea, and together we've been organizing this event. It'll have three different parts to it. The first part will deal with women in mathematics in the arts, particularly in drama and film. And that's particularly exciting for us because one of the principal people we will have is Denica McKellar, who is one of the stars of the television show The West Wing. And
Right. Explain to me, when you say women in the arts, do you mean the portrayal of women in film and dance? I'm not really seeing the connection of the math and the arts.
Well, that's the purpose of this meeting, to mm-hmm. point out where there might be women mathematicians somehow in drama or in film. And actually, while there are experts who are going to be talking to us about this, and you can find more about the program on the website, principally we're thinking of the play Proof by David Auburn, which won Pulitzer and all kinds of awards, and also the play Arcadia by Tom Stoppard, which some people have called the greatest play of the 20th century. So to supplement that, we have some local performers, particularly Jennifer Dean of Lavache Enragé Productions, LVE Productions, and they'll be doing some dramatic readings from those two plays, Proof and Arcadia.
And I'm assuming then that those plays deal with women mathematicians and so forth?
They do deal with women in mathematics, and if someone wants to find out what Proof is all about, they can come to a free screening of the movie Proof at 7 p.m. on February 7th, also on the Stanford University campus.
Mm-hmm. And the guest that you mentioned, West Wing, she was also, I think people may know her, was it the Wonder Years? She was the the girlfriend of the main character, I think?
That's not a show I watched, but I love The West Wing. So
okay. Anyway, yeah, that Danica McKellar.
Yes.
And why is she there? Is she a mathematician?
I actually wanted to have her because she majored as an undergraduate in mathematics at UCLA.
Okay.
And she actually co-authored a real scientific mathematical paper. So she can actually speak directly about this topic of women, mathematics, and film.
Mm-hmm.
She also played the same character played by Gwyneth Paltrow in a stage version of the play Proof.
Mm-hmm. For many people, I mean, the idea of you know, there's the myth of that math is hard for girls, you know, that at a certain age, I know I've seen statistics, at a certain age, you know, boys and girls, up to a certain age, I should say, boys and girls seem to perform equally well in math and standardized tests for math and so forth. It seems to be around adolescence, in high school, when things start to change. Is it a myth? Is it true that is math harder for girls, I guess?
Actually, math is harder for girls, mainly because their teachers tell them it is.
Okay.
And so they move into other subjects. But it also is culture dependent, because when I was a grad student at Oxford University, I found that about a third of the undergraduates studying mathematics were women. Don't quote me on those statistics.
I'm
not very good on numbers. but I found about a third were women, whereas in the United States, the numbers were much, much lower. So there is something that depends on culture.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 'Cause I know from my own experience when I was in high school, in elementary school, high school, I had very positive feedback on math. I was changed, promoted from one class to another because the teacher, a guy, saw that I had some talent in the field. And it seems somewhat, you know, unfortunate then that would, the success perhaps of young women in math at that age, critical age, is really dependent upon, you know, does the teacher give them that impetus, that favorable input.
And actually, also for boys, too, because so many people tell me, you know, I either liked mathematics, but, you know, maybe I just didn't, my teacher wasn't very good, or they tell me they hated mathematics, and again, it depends on the teacher. So I think what we really need to do is focus more on improving math education at the K-12 level, and it's a bit unfortunate that so few professional mathematicians involve themselves in improving mathematics at that level. After all, you may be a university professor teaching mathematics, but you've got to teach the students who come out of 12th grade.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, I think that there's always been that divide, right, between the academic world and the real world, for example, high school teaching, K-12 teaching, and so forth. Talk to me a little bit also about your work in math, in the whole world of math.
All right, well, my field is called lattice theory, and this has to do with abstract properties of hierarchy and order. And it fits in this field called abstract algebra. And it's absolutely a fantastic field. I love it. I wouldn't do anything else, despite actually being dissuaded by many of my professors when I was a student. But I'll do this for the rest of my life and perhaps beyond.
Okay. You know, I'm laughing here. And again, math, it's a foreign language in a way, isn't it, really? And sometimes you can hear some of the other guests were in our green room, quote-unquote, talking about, I walked in to talk to you guys. And again, it was like sitting in and some of the people speaking in Italian or French or something. I had absolutely, you know, it was really out there. And it also reminds me, one time I think I went to a party about 15, 20 years ago and met a guy and we were talking and I said, what are you studying? He said, I'm a grad student in math. And I said, well, what do you do? What do you mean, grad student math? What is that? And he tried to explain it to me for about half an hour, 40 minutes. And at the end of the conversation, I still don't understand what this guy did, you know, in terms of, it was so hard, I guess, for me to put myself in his position of, you know, for me, it's I read a book, I write a paper. What does your job consist of?
My job consists of...
I mean, in terms of, and again, I'm not trying to be facetious or not, it's really something I've always been curious about in terms of what you're going towards or to prove or to work out type of thing in math.
Well, they say that a mathematician is a man with a problem with something to prove. Hopefully we'll change that to women, too, with this conference. But what I do is I think about fabulous problems, which, unfortunately, are really hard to describe.
Right. No, I understand.
The problems in mathematics usually don't have to do with mathematics. They don't have to do with numbers, rather. They might have to do with structure. They might have to do with these weird objects called lattices, whatever they might be. And so I sit, I think, I might drink some Coke, I might drink mind you. I might lie down, and then I think about a problem for a couple weeks or a couple years, and then I wake up and write something down, and hopefully I have the solution.
Right, right. No, it's fascinating. It's wonderful. Professor Jonathan Farley here today to talk to us about, and has been speaking to us about, a conference called Proof and Prejudice, Women in Mathematics, which is occurring on December. What am I saying? February the 7th. Excuse me, at Stanford, from 2 to 5:30 p.m., room 426, 4th floor, Margaret Jacks Hall, building 460 on the Stanford campus. Go to irwg.stanford.edu for more information on that. And again, they are inviting you to join them for a discussion and celebration of women in math, in drama, history, and today. Panelists include West Wing and Wonder Years actress Danica McKellar, who, besides being a very competent actress, as Professor Farley has mentioned, studied in undergraduate in math, in mathematician, movie critic Molly Pauls, documentary filmmaker George Chichiri, who's here today to talk to us about his film on mathematician, Berkeley mathematician Julia Robinson, and many other scholars and performance artists and so forth, to talk to you about the idea and of math and women and so forth. At 7 p.m. on that same day, there'll be a free screen of the Golden Globe-nominated movie Proof, starring, I believe, Gwyneth Paltrow and Anthony
Hopkins,
a young woman, if I believe, following in the footsteps of her noted and very famous father, mathematician. And so you can see that as well. We're going to take a short musical break, and we'll be back with one of our panelists, other panelists, to talk more about what they're specifically going to do on the conference. And Professor Farley, I want to thank you. I mean, this topic for me is so fascinating. I remember math, as I've said before, math being a hard subject in high school, but one of the most satisfying once I had accomplished it. There is something so pure about a math problem. You know, there are no extraneous little things. It's not when you write a paper, for example, you know, there's the subjective nature of it. And so this is exciting, and I hope a lot of people can make the conference.
I love mathematics, so I hope they can come too.
Wonderful, thank you. We'll get back to talking about women, Proof and Prejudice, Women in Mathematics, in just a little bit. I'm going to play a little more music from this, the group Sounds from the Ground, and we'll be back in a bit. Stay tuned. Thank you. And again, the band sounds from the ground. Their CD entitled Kin, K-I-N, and the song was called Loaf, L-O-A-F. Good stuff. The show that you're listening to is Women Hold Up Half the Sky, KALX Berkeley 90.7 FM. It's 11:26 in the morning. And talking today on the show about what, in my mind, sounds like just a fascinating conference, something called Proof and Prejudice, Women in Mathematics. It's occurring, as I've said, February the 7th on the Stanford University campus. To get more information, location, and so forth, go to, on the web, irwg.stanford.edu. The conference is presented by the Institute for Research on Women and Gender. It's presented by them, and it is co-sponsored by Stanford University's Departments of Mathematics, English, History, and Drama, and the Feminist Studies Program. Again, we finished talking a little bit earlier on the show with Professor Jonathan Farley, who talked to us about the nature of this conference, which is exploring really the discussion celebration of women in math in drama, history, and today, and several panelists appearing in the conference to talk about those topics. Danica McKellar, sort of celebrity, if you will, West Wing and Wonder Years actress, who as an undergraduate at UCLA majored in mathematics. Movie critic Mary Poles, documentary filmmaker George Chicherry, who's actually going to be on the show in a little bit, to talk about his film on Berkeley mathematician Julia Robinson. And right now in the studio, waiting patiently for me to finish what I'm doing here, is a mathematician, postdoctoral fellow Jamel Carter. She is a postdoctoral fellow at the Mathematical Sciences Research Institute. She's also at San Francisco State University, and she will be talking and participating in this conference on February the 7th. Jamel, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Postdoctoral fellow at the Mathematical Sciences Research Institute. Explain, define in less than 200 words, I don't know.
Right. The Mathematical Sciences Research Institute, it's also, in short, it's called MSRI. It's basically a think tank for mathematicians. It's a place where professional mathematicians can come and be paid to think without having the responsibilities of teaching or service work that they might have for their institutions or universities. It's primarily sponsored by the National Science Foundation. This is part of the federal government's initiative to have the best mathematicians in the world actually here in the U.S. And so I'm paid to think about math, and
your face is lighting up. Is that a dream come true for you?
You know, it's a dream come true to be paid for what I want to do, and it's definitely a dream come true to be able to do it in the Bay Area for sure.
Mm-hmm. Talking a little bit about the best mathematicians in the world, the federal government. I mean, I know that for many years, you know, you see studies coming out all over the place that we're, as a nation, terms of math, we're not. I don't even know if we're in the top 10. I mean, we lag behind Europe and Asia in this area. Correct?
Absolutely. Oh yeah, we do. And so actually, a lot of the people who come to the institute are actually foreign. However, you know, this is still a play, and that's actually an issue of concern, because we really should be giving our American students the same fantastic education that that people at the top of their fields in other parts of the world have as well.
Mm-hmm. The math teachers, I teach high school, and the math teachers are always bemoaning the low math abilities of students that are coming in from eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Many bemoan and blame, I don't know exactly what it was called, but there was a period there where it was something called the new math, where just, you know, the traditional things that I did when I was growing up, memorizing the multiplication table, you not being able to use a calculator, you know, long division, things like that, that it wasn't done for a long time. I mean, is that part of the problem?
I think that's a part of the problem. And there have been so many different types of solutions for that. Not only have the teachers bemoaned it, but the college professors also, you know, so who get the students are also saying, you know, how come they can't multiply? Why do they have to use a calculator to do this? But the problem actually goes a little bit deeper. I mean, frankly, Professor Farley really kind of hinted at it earlier on, where people who actually can do mathematics are not teaching it, quite frankly. And so they're off doing other things for a variety of very valid reasons. But what ends up happening is that the people who are actually teaching in the classroom may not have had the best training themselves. It's not their fault. But really, there needs to be more of an initiative to actually entice people who can and actually want to educate and shape our young minds to actually do so, to sort of bring everybody up to...
Well, it's difficult. I myself, as a high school teacher, there are very good reasons why an individual would think twice about teaching high school or teaching elementary school. It is not well paid. It's a difficult job.
That's right.
And as I say that, however, the satisfaction of knowing that you are creating a future... intellectual, generation of people with those skills is gratifying and is wonderful. Yourself, obviously, your eyes lit up. You just, it's a math passion, you know. reminds me of times in high school in calculus, which, again, as I mentioned earlier, was one of the hardest classes I've ever taken, but one of the most satisfying. And just all of us getting so, and I'm going to use the word dorky and geeky about the fact that, you know, at the library we finally figured out how to do a certain problem, one problem taking us maybe 2 hours together, and that excitement. And it was a little bit like explorers. We were math explorers, we were adventurers. Is that what it is for you, that the world going through... solving problems in a way is climbing a mountain, exploring a new jungle, something to that effect?
Definitely. I really see a sense of, or feel a sense of gratification. I know what you mean when, you know, you've been working on this problem for forever and it finally comes through, you've finally gotten it. And it's just really gratifying. And there's something about the precision of it and just sort of knowing that it's a done deal.
Yeah, as opposed to, as I mentioned earlier, and other things, if you're in school and you're thinking about things, you're writing a paper, you're analyzing a historical dilemma, words can mean more than one thing, but a zero is a zero is a zero, although so I suppose mathematicians out there are going, no, Dolly, a zero is not zero, don't you remember, and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
If you just joined us, I'm talking with postdoctoral fellow Jamel Carter. She's a postdoctoral fellow at the Mathematical Sciences Research Institute, which is located in the Bay Area, where a think tank for mathematicians, so they can sit and ponder the imponderable, the tangents, as it were. Sorry about that. Of math and its corollaries. She is going to be a panelist on a conference called Proof and Prejudice: Women in Mathematics, on February the 7th, Stanford campus. Excuse me. When you were in a school, from early on, did you love math? Was there a teacher that somehow got you involved more so in math and said, wow, you've got the talent, go for this? I'm just sort of wondering if mathematicians are born or made.
I would have to say both. Okay. And you'll understand why I say that. My biggest influence as a mathematician was my mom. My mom is a mathematician.
All right, there you go.
And I always grew up knowing that I could do it. I never had the, you know, math phobia. And it was a really interesting scenario for me growing up. I very rarely went to her because I always wanted to do my math problems on my own.
Right. Yeah.
But I remember I could not understand. I remember this so clearly. I could not understand... reciprocal fractions. So in other words, I understood that one third times three was one. I got that. But I couldn't understand why 5/3 times 3/5 was one. I could do it mechanically, but I couldn't understand
it. Right now I'm thinking, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would just remember going to my mom, who was working in the office at home, And I could just bug her about it. And she was so wonderful and so patient. And she kept drawing me pictures and she kept going over and over. So that was the influence for me. But it was really interesting how that changed once I got to college. Because in high school, you know, everything was sort of comfy. And
well, in high school, there's the nurturing still happening.
Absolutely.
College, they could care less.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And definitely sort of with the cord was cut. Certainly not from my mother, but, you know, from the whole nurturing thing, and really was quite a struggle. It's been wonderful to have her, as an influence and as a guide. But also to know that there are other ways of sort of taking this mathematics as in your career, in your life, and not just following the examples that might've been set by the faculty, you know, at college. There are different ways of doing it. And, I mean, it's actually quite interesting. When I told her I was going to major in math, she told me don't do it. She said, it's hard. I don't want you to struggle like that. And afterwards, she called me to apologize. She said, you can do what you want to do. But she knew I was headed down a difficult road, and she wanted to sort of spare me.
Did you feel that you as a woman would face obstacles for that as well?
As a woman, as a black woman, she really struggled with it. I mean, she's fantastic in her field, but, you know, she paid the dues.
And did she fear that for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Is it still a reality, do you think? Do you think that math is a man's world?
It's definitely predominantly male, for sure. And I think that the opportunities for women, while they might have been getting better in the last few years, I think that there's still serious obstacles. I think that it's really wonderful for this panel that they're addressing women as mathematicians and also as artists, because I think as women we're very drawn to a work-life balance. How do we balance, you know, our professional lives and our personal lives? And in the field of research mathematics, there's not as much room for that as women would hope for. If that balance needs to be family, if it needs to be for some other passion, for education that might not be as valued as highly in the research world. So they're surmountable obstacles. And I guess I say surmountable intentionally, but they're significant obstacles. There's definitely there could be a better welcome mat laid out, let's put it that way, for women.
Well, in most areas, one could
agree.
If you just joined us, the show's Women Hold Up Half the Sky on KALX Berkeley 90.7 FM. I'm your host, Jolie Johnson, speaking with postdoctoral fellow Jamel Carter, who is talking about her experiences with math. And as she says, as her eyes light up, she's being paid to think about math. One last thing I could ask you, or sort of get your input on, how important is it that young girls be encouraged to succeed in math, to be shown that they can solve these issues?
It's critical. It's absolutely critical. Girls and boys, but especially girls, need to know that they can do it. And I'm very much about empowering children, especially girls, to have the skills that they need to think about a problem analytically, to understand the algebra that goes behind actually solving problems.
Yeah, because one could say that, you know, I tell students in high school, why do I have to learn that this logarithm, how am I going to use it in my job? I often say to them, and then this is for parents or aunts or uncles or people who know young children, again, boys or girls, it's not the math, it's the knowing how to solve a problem.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Everyone that's listening right now who are young people, not everyone is going to become a mathematician.
That's right.
You're going to have to love it, but if you can think analytically like that, so, you know, it can help later on in whatever field, I'm assuming.
Absolutely, absolutely. And really, at this point, it's really becoming kind of an entry where you need that in order to go forward. How you use it once you have the mastery of mathematics, do what you want and enjoy your life, but make sure you understand the mathematics beforehand.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jamel Carter, for coming in to talk to us. I feel we could talk for another hour about this. It's fascinating. We're going to get on, though, within the time that we have to talk to as many people as we can. So thank you, Jamel.
Thank you so much for having
and,
me.
And those of you listening, if you'd like to hear more from Jamel, go to the conference, Proof and Prejudice, Women in Mathematics, occurring February the 7th, the Stanford University campus. She will be one of the panelists talking about her work and, again, women in math. We're going to play a little bit more from the group Sounds from the Ground. This is track 4 called Pearl. And we'll have filmmaker George Chichere in the studio in just a minute talking about his film on Julia Robinson, a Berkeley mathematician who was involved in solving something called the Hilbert's 10th problem. And we're all going to find out what in the world that is in just a bit. Stay tuned.
Ancient warriors of Ireland. He fell in love with a spirit woman from that land.
finishing off Sounds from the Ground, a song called Pearl, I believe, from, I think it's their first CD release called Kin. And again, the group is Sounds from the Ground. You're listening to the show Women Hold Up Half the Sky on KALX Berkeley, 90.7 FM.